Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shift Podcast. Sorry again about the month-long sabbatical number two, but I just was so crazy busy the last month that I didn't get a chance to upload an episode, and I have been recording them though, so I have a ton on the Patreon. A new one is coming up on the Patreon as well, so I think like that one up there, they're like four episodes ahead. So it's patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. It's always the full episodes there as well, and it's always the video too. And right now it's pay what you want, because I still haven't, which I've been saying for years, figure out those tiers. I don't know. I literally need someone to come in and just sort out my life. Also what I'm going to do this week is put out two episodes just to make up for not posting for a while, and try to catch up a bit. And this week's episode is with Blair Dawson. She's a New York City based comedian. I've known her for a really, really long time. She's such a sweetheart. We talk a bit about dating. We talk a bit about the kind of drama you get from what you post online as a female comedian. She also tells me about her Irish nanny that she grew up with, and about her experiences on Burt Wright. And if you're in New York City, we have the Dead Rabbit on the 9th of March. We have the, because I have Union Hall. There's only like 30 tickets left for the my new hour, you know, not new per se, but the hour I've been working on. I'll be doing here in New York City on the 16th. But Vivian O'Callaghan, who actually recorded an episode with me as well, that'll be coming out soon too. I just want to send it to her to proof listen first, but I haven't had a chance yet. She's going to be on that as the opening act, let's say, and I'm going to like interview her about like the Irish language and Irish stories and Irish facts. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And then I'll do my therapy show. Also in Chicago on the 17th for St. Patrick's Day. So yeah, if you're based in Chicago or you know anybody, tell them to get tickets for that. And then St. Louis on the 19th, and then Kansas City on the 21st, and then Portland in April, and Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto. Oh, and Buffalo as well in April. I'll put the link to my link tree, which has all the links to the tickets in the description here. And then in May, San Francisco, San Diego. Don't have the ticket link for the San Diego yet. Las Vegas and LA. I nearly forgot LA. Also, I forgot in April too, I have Stamford, which we just added. So if you're based in Connecticut, definitely, I haven't gotten the link yet, but definitely let me know and I'll send you it out as soon as I get it. You can always sign up to my email list as well. It's literally the first page on my website, www.katieboylecomic.com. And then in June I have Baltimore, which actually Aoife Dunn, you might follow her, Aoife in English, she's going to come over and visit again in New York, and she's going to come open, so there'll be a lot of fun. And there's some great Irish acts as well coming over for the Dead Rabbit too, so keep an eye on that. But yeah, it's all very exciting, so just I have it all in my link tree. But other than that, enjoy this episode. And also, if you haven't seen the special, it's up on my YouTube. I'll do it myself. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys in a few days when I upload the other episode, so you can get to this week. Bye bye.
Okay, wait. Say that again. What's wrong with the tea?
Okay, so one day I got really obsessed with microplastics, and I was looking up all of the items with the highest levels of microplastic absorption. And one of the items with the highest microplastic absorption is those plastic mesh tea bags.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny now? I'm realizing it's not these tea bags.
No.
Because I was about to be like, Irish people are going to lose their fucking mind. I mean, they'll still drink it, but just be like, we don't even want to hear it. But it's the other fancy tea bags. So you think you're having like, oh, because I drink 10 cups of tea a day. So sometimes I would have like not like I just make myself feel bad and be like, oh well, I should try herbal tea and I'll get like some fancy chamomile, and it's in one of those,
when you see those triangle plastic tea bags, those are the bad ones.
They're the bad
ones. So stick to the cheapos. Honestly, even if you just get like loose tea and do, if you're, well, that feels like advanced to get one of those.
Well, in Ireland, they would do like, I in the countryside. So I would live like half, not half, like a quarter of the time, like spend my weekends in the countryside. And so my friend, Deirdre, actually, give her a shout out. Her mom would make the best tea, but it was because it was just loose leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you just put it in a pot. They, I don't even think, because my grandmother would do it too, but then she stopped doing it. But you wouldn't like have like a thing in it. You'd just leave it in and the, you know, the tea leaves would stay for the like end of the teapot.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get the odd tea leaf in your tea.
That feels like the glow up version of drinking tea is when you're doing loose leaf. That's, yeah. I'll know I'm really an adult once I start doing loose leaf.
And it's funny because I feel like it was more just, because anything like that I think of people doing in the country isn't like, it's more just, they're like, oh, I don't need that fancy bag. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's more like, it's funny because like, okay, so things I would have seen people do in Ireland in the countryside, that was just for practical and it was usually just cheaper too.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came over here and people, it's more expensive because people see that as a luxury thing.
Mm-hmm.
To get loose leaf tea here is more expensive than regular tea.
It's glamorized.
It's so weird. It's so funny how like, even like healthy food. So like in Ireland, it's way cheaper to eat healthy well, everything's local, so it's just it's a completely different world, and the meat is gorgeous and the dairy is so fresh and it doesn't hurt your stomach for most people anyway.
Well, is it subsidized by the government?
Well, it's just, it's agricultural country, so
yeah,
I think it's like what a lot of people like, it's their jobs, and then secondly it's because it's small, it's like easier to kind of control, if that makes sense. And plus the cows are just all running in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just, most people are from farming backgrounds, so it's like a big part of the, like it's really important. And then they export the meat to places too, so it's like a good form of income for the country as well.
As you're saying that, I'm just like running through all these visceral images of industrial farming documentaries that I've seen in America. It's horrifying.
It's so sad.
It's like 90% industrial farming.
No, it's so crazy. Because I worked at Bear Burger when I first moved over here. And right. I was like, what is this weird place? But then they teach you a lot and you have to know. And I was like, oh God, I didn't realize how insane farming is here compared. Like, because in Ireland, it's just like everybody has fields. Not everybody, but like the farmers have fields, the cows are in the field. It's not like here where what cows are just force fed and stuck in a place and they don't get to, and they're fed like hormones. And whereas in Ireland, it's all grass fed. Like you
and
don't even have
marketing.
To say grass fed because it's naturally grass fed.
I definitely, okay, so there's a difference between like cage free, then free range and pasture ranged, like for eggs, for example. So like, are you familiar with the difference?
No, let me guess. Cage free is they're roaming around, they're having the crack. No. Oh my God, that's
well. It literally just means that they're cage free, but they're like in dark, like blacked out barns where they're just like tripping over each other and like rolling around in each other's shit. Whereas like then there is free range where I think it is, they just like have more room. Like cage free and free range are really not that much different. And then pasture raised are actually raised out okay. on like a lawn, or they're just like free and they can roam around. So pasture raised is really like the only quote unquote like ethical egg.
My dad had chickens and they just would roam around the place. Sometimes they would also get into the house.
Mm-hmm.
But that eggs that they had was like insanely better than any other eggs, so you can taste a difference between egg that's he's just living life out in your backyard compared to egg that I guess yeah they're just living in a dark hole. That's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so in New York we have like the Amish and they used to be the reliable like cheap good quality egg,
yeah.
Like Sunshine Farms. Are you familiar
yeah.
with
that?
Yeah,
okay,
the
okay,
so they used to be like my bodega get, and they would have like the bright orange yolk and like high quality
yeah.
eggs. However, I don't know why, but over the pandemic, they like their prices skyrocketed. But they used to be like the cheapest,
okay,
and the best quality.
Yeah, maybe it was just something to do with the pandemic and needing to like get more money. I don't know. Who knows?
The sticker price.
Yeah. God. Yeah, eggs are like kind of, to me, they're so precious and they get so expensive after the pandemic. And we went to a protest and they threw, I mean, it wasn't like, it was just a walk one and no one was, I didn't see any crazy like signs, any like offensive signs, or no one was saying anything offensive. They were just singing something about, I can't even remember, but it was nothing like that. I don't think anybody could interpret as bad. But anyway, someone threw eggs from the apartment blocks.
And what was
it? I got egged.
Okay.
Which is good. Because in fairness, it's better me than, I'm just, you know, going with friends supporting. It's better me than them who are like worried about their family or whatever.
Right.
I think they were trying
to see
as far
as the time.
Yeah, it's better, you know. I'm brought. I knew what you were about to say.
I was about to say, you were a human shield. And you know what? You know, it's okay. It's fine. I'm allowed to say that. I'm a comedian. I can say whatever I want.
We can always cut it later if you want.
That's okay. Sometimes I definitely am like, depending on the vibe or the situation, I feel free to just like say the most, like, obviously the most provoking thing. And then other times it's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like you have such like a chill, nice vibe that I'm just like, I said the inappropriate thing. Whereas like a lot of times with comedians,
that's the point in being a comedian. If you say it without hate in your heart, and like that's the thing too with everything going on, I'm like, I think people are thinking people are saying stuff with hate when they're not. Oh, and this is something a theorist said. She was like, I do, like, one thing I love about my family is they're going through a really dark time, but they always are making jokes. Yeah. And they're making jokes like that too. And that's very Irish too. Like, I think anybody who's been in some sort of like, you know, history of whatever, like, I don't know what the right word is, but maybe like, yeah, oppression or whatever, they're usually the people who make the darkest jokes.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so I feel like in my close relationships, I do that a lot, but I will say a lot of times, like, and on stage, I feel really free to do that.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, definitely when I like, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago in comedy, I was just like, oh, I want to develop a thicker skin. But what I told this other comic, like Mike Racine, was like, I want to be more mean. And then he invited me onto his podcast with Nick Mullen and Abby Rosenquist, which like they are known for saying whatever they want. And then Mike Racine brings me on saying like, this is Blair, my woke millennial friend. And then the entire podcast was trying to get me to say the N-word. And you know,
Jesus.
What? That really never felt less funny in my life, but you know, it was a good time. But yeah, I feel like Nick was just saying that, where I was just like, well, what's the difference between just saying whatever you want and being like a malignant narcissist? And he said the same thing, where it's just like, oh, intent.
Oh yeah, I do feel like when it comes to that word or certain words that groups of people have asked not to say, I'm like, yeah, that's fine, that's the minimum. But I think when it's like something, it all depends on context too, because if someone's like, I don't want you to say this because it upsets me, but that person is coming from that experience, like, well, they're like, but this is my experience, so I'm allowed to say that. But if it's something like, I don't want you to say the N-word because it's racist and it upsets me, it's like, yeah, of course, like,
yeah,
I'm a white person, I don't need to say that to you and or around. And even if it's like, it's just, yeah, these are like, or like when gay people say don't use the F-word, it's like, yeah, that's the minimum we can do.
Yeah.
So I feel like in general, the time we're living in now, it is hell, it's on fire, I know, but like it's also a good time too to live. I wouldn't want to live as an Irish woman, I wouldn't want to live in any other fucking time zone, not time zone, time land, time
in this
timeline.
Moment right now. Well, because yeah, every single time previous to now, there's been something horrific happening. I just feel like we've never been so ever present.
Well, we didn't have TikTok showing us everything now.
Yeah, we're overloaded with information. I once took this globalization course in London. It was like globalization in the media, and it was talk about like infotainments and such. Like, it's all fear-based media to sell like advertising. So it's like, you know, it's not like these things aren't happening, but it's like stoking the fear.
Yeah.
in order to like sell you things, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think people are losing a bit of their kindness with situations, or like, yeah, when you have to be like, obviously.
Or it's like a cynical marketing tactic where it's like, oh, if I'm divisive online, it drives engagement on my page.
Yeah. You know? I can never be like that. I by it's accidentally am.
Yeah.
I posted something like a year ago. Whew, I got so much hate. But like, I think I am like a little political. And I think it's like kind of, for me, it's important. And I'll always share stuff as I go along. And it's funny because every time I share stuff, someone will be like, leave the politics off your page. And I'm like, I've always shared political stuff, you know. I've shared about femicide, I've shared about Irish stuff, you know. And you don't get to just follow me and then dictate what I do, and you don't have to follow me. Like, this is my baby, I created this.
Yeah. What have been the jokes that you've gotten like the most pushback on?
Oh god. The Israel-Palestine thing I posted a year ago, that was the one I was thinking about. I would wake up kind of like with, oh, should I have posted that?
What was the joke?
So it was, okay.
So we need to know.
Remember, the context is a year ago, and I would have followed Palestine stuff for years. Yeah. And I'm kind of lucky that, you know, I also have a friend as well. And then Ireland has always kind of like reported a bit on it. But and I tend to look up as much information about as many countries as I can. So if I host and I have crowd work, and I MC a lot at New York Comedy Club, I have as much information about places. When I'll always go, I'm not from here, where are people from? And I try to know a lot about different countries if I can. And so one woman shouted up, Israel. And I just said like, oh, you said that in a tone like you know where my country stands on this.
Yeah.
So we won't get into it. And and I kind of just moved on because I was hosting as well. And it's, you know, it's like she was just being kind of like, she said it in a bold tone, like, let's see how this girl, you know what I mean? It was like,
I'm pushing your buttons.
Yeah. So then I was like, anybody else not from here? And a guy on the other side of the room clapped and goes, Palestine. And I was like, something like, oh, we made sure to sit you guys on opposite side of the rooms.
Right.
And I said, look at this apartheid right here.
Yeah.
And so that was a trigger word because they were like, a lot of people were like, they're not apartheid. It's not okay to say an apartheid. And I was like, I'm like, well, different roads is pretty much the definition. It's not like I'm saying, and it's also a joke and it's a comedy show at the time. So
I've noticed that like, if you use like whatever terms are like said again and again about a situation, that it's like becomes triggering. But if you like define what that term is about a situation, people won't be activated. Like if you were to just like define what apartheid is,
yeah,
and like describe what was going on, it's just like the word apartheid is just like,
yeah,
it's just projecting.
And it is the definition. You can say, well, it's not because whatever, we're afraid or blah blah blah, but when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, it's a space with different roads and different rules for different people and different visas and different forms of equality and second class citizens. So people who are generations, like their grandfathers or grandmothers are people who had to leave that land where now they have to get a visa to get in. So no matter what, no matter what way you look at it, whatever it is, the definition of that word.
Well, when you're getting like the shit storm... Like, this happened to me, like, a couple times on the internet, and, like, definitely for a day, I can't shake this feeling of, like, I'm in trouble.
Oh, and a feeling of regret, like, oh, was this worth... But then it's, like, comedy is, like... Yeah, the intent wasn't to be mean, and it was a good reference because they were sitting on opposite sides of the room.
Yeah.
And the audience were fine, and like, a lot of... And, like, I pissed off both sides because some people were like, you shouldn't have... said I'm not getting into it with her, you should have like dug into her and told, and I responded to that being like, I mean, this woman hasn't said her opinions or she just said she's like from the place. So what, she hasn't said her feelings or whatever, and I'm also hosting, I'm not gonna tank the show, and this is my full-time job. Like at the time I was like literally living off emceeing at New York Comedy Club, and I have to make sure that, and also they paid, you know, both people paid to be there, so you have to like really make sure whatever you're doing is as diplomatic and you're not isolating the audience, and you're making sure people are having a good time, people come out to have a good time. If she said something, if someone shouted up something racist or like something that is, then I'll be like, yeah, no, you need to leave or whatever. Yeah, can't be like, but when they just say they're from a place, I can't be like, just put politics on them, do you know, sort of way. So
yeah, the two jokes that have been like my most successful across platforms were both the ones that I got like a lot of like actually death threats. Was like an abortion joke that I posted like a year before Roe v. Wade was overturned, but like the restrictive policy in like Texas was passed. And I got like across platforms, and I realized that it was getting picked up by all these like, you know, men rights groups, and like reposted on Twitter, and I didn't even post it on Twitter. And like, it's just crazy when things like makes the rounds and like people have to like send it to you, and it's just like, I wouldn't even have been aware, but it's just like, you're just getting a shitstorm every day. But like, and then it's funny because like on TikTok, it's so censored that at least like what people are able to comment, that for me, it's just like, well, this happens a lot with female comics. You'll just get like the flat line emoji of someone just doing like a flat face. Like, this isn't funny.
Or the coffee one.
Oh, I haven't gotten the I've gotten coffee. The bagel, and I'm like, is that like an anti-Semitic like gesture? Like, it kept being like flat emoji is with it? Bagel. Yeah. I'm just like, why else am I getting spammed with bagels? You know? Would you ever want to live in Ireland again?
Yeah, it's my backup country when this one goes to shit.
Okay, yeah. But like, do you see that in the future, or are you not even thinking that far?
I don't know. It depends on the kids thing too.
Yeah.
I don't. No,
it just seems so much easier because it's like there are all these like systems, social safety nets.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I was listening to this one thing that was like, it was I don't know how valid the research is, but it was the conclusion that they came to with this research. They were asking the question like, are people happier if they have kids? And the answer depends on the country. In America, people are less happy if they have kids. If they're in a country with strong social safety nets, they are happier when they have kids, because it's like, okay, things like education, healthcare, it's like, you don't have to like freak out about that. Or I heard someone else say this before, where it's just like, yeah, having kids in America is treated like the most expensive hobby in the world.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're either so poor that you have them or have to have them or whatever. Do you know what I mean? There's not like, I feel like you might just not be able to afford the abortion, or maybe it could be religion stuff. But you know what I mean? I feel like middle class don't really have don't have as much babies, if I'm right. And then rich people, it's a privilege. So I feel like it's either like, you're kind of like, okay, well, I want it and I'm willing to spend all my money on it. Or you're in the middle and you're kind of like, worth it, or you're rich and it's a privilege.
I feel like there's such like a narrative happening in America right now, if you're like grew up middle class, that it's just like, you can only have them if you can afford them, which like,
that's,
you
so
know,
sad,
people
though.
People make it work. People always make it work. And there's just like this mentality of like, can't.
I feel like that though, because I feel like this is the first year I've ever had like money, and I do not have money, but I have money because I don't have kids. And I was thinking a bit about that, like how, you know, like Leland doesn't really have, like, he's kind of hand to mouth, which is totally fine. He's younger too, so when I was his age, I sound like such a groomer, when I was his age,
no,
I was
hand to
mouth. And so, but I was thinking about this the other day, like, if we had a kid, I just wouldn't be able to feel the comfortability. And this is the first time in my life I've ever felt that, because I grew up like where money was always an issue. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's kind of nice to not have to. But you're right, people make it work, and I think it's very stressful. And I think in Ireland it'd be easier for sure. And then you have a sense of community too. There's more of a community in Ireland than there is in New York per se with kids. Like, I don't see kids here.
They're like in Queens.
Yeah, you have to go to Astoria.
Yeah, they're on the Upper East Side. There are definitely like New York suburbs. There's like Carroll Gardens, which they call like gardens, like stroller gardens.
That's
garden,
so
you know?
True. I was in Carroll Gardens the other day.
A
and
lot of kids.
Yeah,
Park Slope,
a lot of like
Cobble Hill. But those are like the rich places. You can also go to like Bay Ridge. There's, you know, like,
or where the sea is. That's a nice little family place. And that's,
yeah,
like, not crazy out of the city.
Mike Wynn, another comedian, he's really funny. He has a kid, and he's my neighbor. He lives in Bed-Stuy.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, people, you think. Also, I feel like you can be like a middle class family and just do the one. you know.
One is enough.
One, and you can still live in a city, I think.
Yeah. When you were saying about the clips going, like all the hate you were getting, I'm also just still, I think I'm going to think about the bagel for a really long time because it's such a weird thing.
I'm like, what else could it be?
Because it's just like, but they're just so great. Bagels are, I can't eat bagels because I can't eat a lot of bread and they hurt my stomach.
Right.
But I have sometimes eaten them because they're so good and then been sore afterwards. But because I'm just like, I have to only eat sourdough bread for whatever reason or brown bread in Ireland. But it's such a weird thing because that's like, that'd be like someone putting a Guinness emoji on mine but trying to offend me. I'd be like, yeah, Guinness is great. What do you like? We made a great thing.
I know.
Do you think maybe it's like a, I don't know. I'm like, it seems more, oh, well, I don't know. People have put potatoes on mine.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, yeah, whatever.
I know. It's just like, I get that, like, this is supposed to be like a troll, but at the same time, you're just helping my algorithm.
But that's what I was about to say. Like, I get so much hate. And like, the that clip was different. That was only when I felt like, my intent, because this is as well, like, but it was like, my intent is not to be mean. My intent is to be funny or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, that was one of the ones that I'm glad that happened because it made me have a thicker skin a bit with internet because I was like,
the skin
just
gets
can't
thicker with each
it.
One.
Oh my god, yeah. I used to, I remember when I first started posting a few years ago, I'd wake up like the next morning with like regret or like, but now I'm just like, it does, yeah, you just get used to it. But my don't tell clip, which was the immigrant one, and it's so interesting how, well, firstly, all the mean comments and why don't you leave and why don't you get out and how dare she comment on us when you, her country, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this isn't like a political statement.
Right.
I'm not a politician. I'm not like,
you're just talking about your personal experience.
Yeah, I'm not changing the world. I'm not. Yeah, exactly. This isn't going to affect your country.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just helping it in the algorithm. You're really helping this blow up. It's so interesting. The other thing is, you know, different perceptions. So like how you say something thinking like, I'm saying America, I obviously mean the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I referenced Gonzalez as a name because obviously Americans are quite racist to any Latin people. But then there's some Latin people who are first generation in the States who are like, we love America, we'll vote for Trump.
Right. There's
like a smaller version. But a guy whose name Gonzalez had wrote on my post like, go back to your own country, you ugly donkey. But I thought that was funny because I was like, we're both, like, I'm sure your parents, and when I went on his page, it was all like USA flags, but I was like, I'm pretty sure your parents or grandparents are like not from the States. But at the I said America because Americans call it America. I do think they should call it the United States because obviously America is the continent. And just seeing then, like, I just noticed one of the comments, which I can't even read half the comments because, but it comes up on your, and this girl was like, no, he is correct, like, you're wrong because this is originally his, America is his land. And I was like, oh, fuck off, like, seriously.
At that point, I'm like, you're the screaming man on the corner of the street. It's like, I can't give validity to anything you're saying.
Yeah, and if I put in every, like, if I put in every perception or like if I were to like have to go through my jokes, I wouldn't be able to create hours because it would be exhausting. I don't have research assistants or I don't have like, how will people perceive this? And it's just comedy. You know what I mean?
If you keep
going,
it's like no one cares. People only care if you care and like are projecting shame, you know, because it's like you're able to be shamed because you feel ashamed.
But also as well, you know? Like, I don't think Gonzalez is a Native American name.
No.
Gonzalez, like, just no matter like, where you are in Latin America too.
You come from a colonizer, sir.
Yeah, like, I'm sure, and if that isn't your original name, fine, but Gonzalez is still not a...
Exactly.
Yeah, we're all not originally from the States or America in general if we're not Native American.
Yeah, no, I have like a lot of like fear around posting on the internet that I'm like trying to get over. I just like, it's like such like a mental block that I'm almost like, I should get hypnotized or something. Because I feel like I used to post clips and then I get like too neurotic and then it's just like a volume game, you know, you just have to like keep going.
You do, and you have to just not, like I tend to try not to read the comments. The only thing is they come up in your notifications sometimes, which is annoying. But, and if it's something like a clip where I want to respond to people and it's, you know, and I'm like, Like I on Reddit, crazy enough, I respond to all the comments, but I find actually Reddit quite supportive, and Reddit in general will delete anything that's like crazy, so you won't even see it. Like I'll see removed, and it's like all these down likes. I'm like, this is great. Didn't even have to see this, but but yeah, I think it's just just keep doing it and fuck it, because I mean, I wouldn't have my career if it wasn't for posting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure I'd have some version of it, but it really helps.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all that hate. And, you know, and it's just like, it's like what we talked about earlier. I was talking about my nana. And I always say like granny here, but we can't say nana at home. I also say, we say mam at home for mother, but they don't say mam here. So like in my special, I had to say mum, which was so funny because I don't, I say it so much now here because I'm like, they'll understand what I'm saying. But there's so many of these words, like, yeah, simple words that we use that are different. But
it takes too long to be like,
Yeah, because I'll say mom and they're like, why is she talking about this woman who, why did this woman try to chase them into the bathroom and beat them?
Yeah.
Like, well, she just came in off the street.
Get to the point, economy of words.
Yeah,
you
know? So I say mom then, but with my nana, yeah, she's just so mean and I love her, but she's mean. And she would say like things like, so like I wear Bare Minerals. You saw me put it on there. My face looks exactly the same as the face that you saw before because it's fucking scam. It's fucking scam.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in this cult of Bare Minerals makeup. But because when I was growing up, everybody was wearing makeup and I didn't like it. I tried it once and I was like, it doesn't feel like me. And so, but I wanted to also be girly and I wanted as well, like just to cover spots or whatever. So I ended up finding Bare Minerals, and Bare Minerals is good for like, especially like if you get red or whatever, but it's pretty much still your same face.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably am spending money unnecessarily, but you know, whatever makes you feel pretty, right?
Yeah. It's a ritual.
Yeah, it's a ritual. Like, fuck it. Who cares? And so I'm in the car with my grandmother and have the face, this face, no makeup. Then I put on the Bare Minerals. It's the same face. It looks exactly the same. And she looks at me and she goes, much better. Oh, bitch.
You know, she was taking the placebo of Bare Minerals too.
Yeah, she's like that though. And she's funny. Like, she's having the cracks sometimes, but she like, yeah, like in front of my boyfriend, she was asking me to get bangs. And you know, like Leland, or like a French for the Irish, but Leland's like just this, you know, white American who comes from this family who like love him. He's the only son. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like things have gone as well as they can. Do you know what I mean? He's like, yeah. So, and they're so loving, his family, so loving. So it's kind of weird for him to come to mine and like just see instant roasting. And so she asked if I would get a fringe, and I was like, actually Leland doesn't like fringes, which we'll see, one day I might. But we have this sort of, he, you know, I like his beard, and he says if I get a fringe, he's shaving his beard.
Yeah. Well, that's a compromise. And, you know, relationships are all about compromise.
Yeah, and he probably has something from his childhood, like, that gives him the ick from it. You know, who knows?
Right.
Because it's funny how people have these things that are just like, anyway. But my grandmother looked at him and was like, would you not let her cover that fat forehead of hers? So I have all these jokes about it.
But you know what? If someone's just like out with it, like, you can't even be mad.
I love
it
too. Like, yeah. It's funny. I was like in the kitchen then to my dad, be like, I didn't come here to be insulted. And then she like was calling me back down to the room and she was like, I was only joking. And I was like, yeah, I'm just joking too, your grand. Like, I don't care. But, I was just like laughing with my dad about it, but like, it's kind of good in one way because, yeah, anything they've said in the comments, it's like my family have said to me at some point as a joke, but like, they kind of joke about the things that are like real too. So, and sometimes it does go too far, like I said to you up top when I first started dating Leland. So we slag a lot, and he was like, yeah, the
roast.
Slagging is too much, it's too much.
Yeah.
I find here that like people try to roast here, but they don't know how to do it. So like I literally said once,
it's not to make you laugh, you know, like a lot of times.
Yeah. Whereas like in Ireland, yeah, it's pointing something out. It's, but you're all you're laughing. What do
you? We're all
laughing
together.
Well, yeah, I have a big forehead. You know, you're all. But here, I've noticed people like roast, and it's like, yeah, it's
in a hateful way.
Yeah,
I'm trying to put you down.
Yeah. And you're like, that wasn't. And then, oh, like, oh, it's just a joke. And you're like, no, I come from a land where they joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one was
the
like,
Irish are much better at banter.
They're the best at banter.
They know how to talk. Well, okay, so we were just mentioning before we were beginning, I was raised in part by like an immigrant from Dublin, you know, because like my upbringing was slightly, it was unique in the sense that like, okay, so my parents, they got separated when I was two, but we had this family friend, Jackie, who won a visa through the lottery, who had a daughter my age, Kyla, but her husband at the time tried to kidnap Kyla. And so my parents were like, helped Jackie.
Wait, hold on, sir. I'm confused.
Okay.
Her, so the girl who got the lottery visa.
Yes, Jackie.
And her husband tried to kidnap Jackie?
No. The husband of Jackie tried to kidnap their daughter.
Jesus. Kyla, he was Irish?
No, from Egypt. And he tried to bring her to
that's
Egypt.
That's like one of those movies that they would like do to like do anti, like, you remember there was these like, there was this American movie and it was like,
was it like Taken or something?
The whole thing was like, it ended with the American flag and she got her children back and got to get back to America, but it was very Islamophobic.
Right, right. Unfortunately, this did happen. This reality was Islamophobic. But anyways, so my parents, my dad, of course, he has like such an ego. He's just like, I'm going to help Jackie find Kyla. And so they found her in New Jersey.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so they brought like Jackie and Kyla back to my home. And at the time, like, my mom, like, she worked full time. My dad at the time worked full time. And they like, we needed someone like in the home for both me and my brother. And so then Jackie moved in and essentially was like the stay-at-home mom getting her teaching degree at Sarah Lawrence while my mom was like the breadwinner, like out working 15-hour days and like two jobs to like support us all. And yeah, and then eventually like my dad like lost his job and like wasn't paying child support. So it was like...
Oh, your parents were split up?
Yeah, yeah. So basically like Jackie and my mom, Susan, both had like bumfuck partners that were just like not helping.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I was raised by like two strong, independent women making it work. So I was like raised by like a neurotic Jewish mom, who was like working all the time, and then my like Irish child, one of 13, you know, who like moved here from Dublin, got her visa, has a child my age.
Oh, amazing.
So we were raised kind of like fraternal twins, and then we were. Yeah, so
I'm loving all these like cultures too, because you have the Irish Catholic, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
Who's a daughter, who's probably a daughter from, was the Egyptian man, Muslim man?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're...
So she would take like Arabic lessons next to me.
And then you're Jewish as well. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, you're literally like, like a little UN.
Exactly.
Living, growing up together.
And all of my best friends growing up, all my next door neighbors were from Japan. Like, and then they eventually all moved back to Japan. So everything was just like a rotating, like, move in, move out, where are you from? Or I don't know. It just
that's
like
amazing.
Was very,
that's the
like,
best about New York. That you moved in New York, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Westchester in this place called Bronxville, which like is like a very kind of like preppy, stuffy town.
Yeah.
But like my mom being like a Jewish single mom, it just felt like very kind of like black sheep of the neighborhood situation. But
your mom sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, she is. She's pretty impressive.
And is she... So when your friend was learning, like, doing Arabic classes, were you also, like, doing, like, learning Hebrew or anything? Or did you have to do a lot of, like...
Well, my mom, her dad died when she was 13 and then became an atheist. So then she never wanted us to, like, go to temple, but my grandmother would bring us occasionally and my older brother didn't like it. So even though I did like it, I wasn't... No one would drive me to temple.
It's always the way where, like, if you're forced to go to mass, you don't like it. But if you get the option, you're kind of like, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know, this smells nice. I don't know what it's like in temple, but in Catholic mass, oh my God, it's like meditation. Because always the priest is like talking like this. So you don't even know what the fuck you're saying, but you're just like, and it smells nice with incense. It's kind of, it's kind of relaxing.
Well, I just really liked Jews and I grew up in a very WASPy town.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I just want to be around Jewish people. Also, I feel like I missed out on like a theology education where it's like there are all these like references that people have that I'm just completely missing, you know? So, and also like who wouldn't want a bat mitzvah? That was fucking sick.
What is it's a party, right? It's like a sweet 13.
Yeah.
Like a...
Yes, it's like a quinceañera, like a sweet 16. There's like a religious component where it's like you're transitioning into an adult. You like read a Torah portion. And Yeah, but essentially in America, it's just like some sort of like money suck. It's like how weddings are here, where it's just like you're upsold for everything, and like everyone's expected to do these like extravagant party favors. Or so really, it was just like a keeping up with the Joneses thing. But they were really fun, and now when I, it's almost like they ruined weddings for me now, because like weddings as an adult, they're less fun bar bat mitzvahs, and I'm. You know, I've already, and it's like when you're young, it's so exciting. And then as an adult, it's just like, been there, done that. I'm jaded.
I know what you mean. Well, we have communions and then we have confirmations.
Yeah.
So communion is more like, I think, what you're saying, because you get like a white dress, little white shoes. You're like eight. It's fucking weird, to be honest. But also, if I offended anybody, sorry for saying it's weird. But because it is exciting as a child, and it's cute. And they spend a lot of money on the communion dress, and people come and all that. I don't know if they get. You definitely get money, maybe not presents, but like you have your communion money that lasts you like 4 years, you know. But I understand the feeling of like, because we were watching Love is Blind last night and they were all crying in their wedding dress, and I was like, I don't think I'd be crying about a wedding dress, or I don't know if I find weddings. But now I'm like, is that because
I think about this all the time. I would happily just get married at a courthouse, but like my ex, who we were just like in a relationship for 2 years, I would always try to, he always wanted a wedding, and I would always try to like picture it, and I'm just like, I don't know, maybe like at your house, because they're just so, I like the average wedding, like the bare minimum you can spend on a wedding in America is like 30k, and it's,
I know,
just,
it's
like
crazy.
There are so many things I would rather do.
I know Ireland is cheaper. We talked about it. I did look up, like, we're not getting married for years, but
it would be better to, like, travel Europe. Like,
I think so, but Leland wants, like, his, like, comic friends
accessible.
Who don't have money to be able to. So I did, like, just out of curiosity, look up, like, this place upstate, and it's just, like, a barn you can rent out, but you don't say it's for a wedding.
Yeah.
And then you just, I think if I were to do it, I would take a couple of weeks and make sure to, like, because I'm like artsy anyway, so I'd like make all the stuff, get loads of fairy lights, and like go up early and just deck it out and have like a party instead of like a wedding per se, and just get married at the courthouse.
You
just get up and do speeches.
I would much rather that as well, like just a party, you rent a space house. But you have to be careful, because I've definitely heard of people doing that where they don't specify it's a wedding, and then for like catering or like flower, anything where it's like you're bringing in a service, if you don't tell them in advance that it's a wedding, that they can like hold whatever product it is hostage outside of the menu. If you don't like meet
I'm
not difference even of the sticker price.
I'm not even gonna wear a white wedding dress.
Yeah,
so we'll see. Yeah, you're right, that's something to look into. God, I don't want, it's just too much.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like whenever I talk to like female comics about this, it's just like the idea is so exhausting. It's like,
we don't have enough money as it is. It can't be just thrown it away. And I know that people come and they give you money, but it's just like, I don't
know. It's not the same. It's like,
and I'm a kind of like a one-on-one type of person anyway. I'm not big on like Leland's like, you're so sociable and you'll go to parties, and I'm like, but I actually find them quite exhausting, because I'm always reading the room and I'm kind of like alert to everything, and so I always come away quite drained. That I actually prefer the nights that I meet up like one-on-one for tea with a friend. Like I make a huge effort to like go for tea with like friends, and I'll do like individual meetups, and I prefer them. So
I'm the same way.
Yeah, so I think if it was like my wedding, I'd like have to take pills, because I'd be going around like, are you okay, are you okay, are you okay, you
know? Yeah, give me some Molly, let's do this.
That's it. That, I just want to have a rave.
Yeah, spike your grandparents, you know.
I was gonna ask you, oh, you know what, wait, I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind talking about it, with Birthright, what was that like?
Okay, yeah, so let me just preface this by saying I'm ignorant. And you know, I like my knowledge level of what was going on, I feel like I was always fed this narrative of kind of like, it's complicated, like and I'm just, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just like, I know Jews that went and said it was fun, let me go. And I'm just like, sounds cool, let's do it. And that's the extent of like what I knew. And I also like don't have much knowledge of like what's going on in a contemporary sense, globally. So I'm like, I just graduated from college, and I like apply to Birthright. You basically just say you're Jewish, they let you go. My ex-boyfriend, he's not Jewish, he said he was Jewish and he went, And he went and he was just like, oh, great. An Asian girl is on the trip. Like, I'm in the clear. Yeah. Like, you really can just say you're Jewish and go. So I basically was just kind of like, I looked at all, there are all these different like organizations and that do sponsored Birthright trips. And you go on like the Birthright website and you just go through all these different like co-signed organizations essentially and just see like what interests you. And the one that interests me most was like a culinary Birthright trip. So it's just like the standard Birthright trip, but it's like focused on food. So unfortunately I had an incredible time. And in terms of like propaganda, there were definitely moments of like, let's tell you about, there was just like a few, we're just going to take you to the side and we're just going to go over the history of Israel as we see it. And like, but those were just kind of like little 2 hour, what is it called? Just like,
little, like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, drop in the bucket. Just like, by the way, this is like why we exist. Or let's have a debate of like what we think about Israel. And like, I don't, yeah, just like, if you think this, stand over here. If you think that, stand over here. In terms
I would
of
not
like,
want to
yeah.
play that game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, stuff like that. And but for the most part, it was really just focused on like agriculture and like the food markets. And as I'm saying this, like something that stuck out to me, I was like, when we were in Jerusalem at the Jerusalem food market, they were talking about kind of like conflict and trade. And it's like, well, you know, Iran and Israel don't have a good relationship, but we love pistachios, so we make it work.
That's so
like,
random.
You know, that's beautiful. Food really brings us all together.
You're going to get a pistachio emoji on your next video.
Yeah, I know. they also took us to like, so they were trying to like make a political point of kind of like, it's not just like Jews in Israel. They took us to this like village of this minority, like this Druze village. And the Druze, they like sign up to join the military, and they made it seem like they're very like pro-Israel. And then we had like a cooking lesson from them. So it definitely was like a propaganda trip.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just, yeah.
I'm wondering,
do you have
like,
any questions about it?
No. I was wondering about the propaganda too.
Yeah.
I find that like when I see stuff, like people kind of saying the same stuff for, which I'm always like, that's kind of,
well, okay, so because I was like, had questions, and I'm like, I don't really know what's going on. And so they have like three leaders, like essentially tour guides that are like from Israel. Basically, if you're like a citizen of Israel, you can like sign up to be like a tour guide of these Birthright trips, or like you can sign up if, you know, if you're like a young person just to like attend. Mm-hmm. Because they have like around 6 Israelis just like joining the Americans or wherever, you know, it's like an international program. So so you have like 6 Israelis. One of them was a part of the intelligence, and he told me this really insane story, which like, god, if I say it probably will be triggering.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of like asking questions about Palestine and everything. And he was just like, yeah, it's a complicated situation. Like, my niece was, like, stabbed by a Palestinian child. And it's just, like, I don't remember his exact words, but was, like, framing it in a way of kind of, like, well, to Hamas, it's, like, a mitzvah to kill a Jew. And they use children as, like, you know, the, like a line that's said a lot now is like, yeah, they use children as like human shields. And yeah, you know, like that was something that was said to me by this person who's like an intelligence officer, where, and he also said like something like, you know, like we often tell people in Palestine to evacuate because we know that like a wanted member of like Hamas is in the building or what have you. But then they like use them as like human shields. And that was like, again, something that was fed to me, not by someone who's like leading the trip, but just someone who was like on it.
Like a plant.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one time there were three like chaperones, I'd say, tour guides. Two of them were just like regular people, you know, like chill, were like not really pushing anything. One was like an Israeli chef, and then the other one, there was this, I asked her, I was just like, so what's the deal with like the occupation? And she's like, well, first of all, it's not an occupation, it's a conflict. And it's just like, you have to understand, we're very sensitive about like and I remember her also saying one thing about kind of like the UN is not a friend to Israel. So there were definitely, like, I can look back and be like, yeah, there are all these like red flags, but also I hooked up with this really hot guy at a kibbutz. So
it just, everybody that I ever talked to about Bert Wright before any of this stuff, like friends who have gone, and they're always like, oh yeah, you just go and hook up, and then they try to tell you things, and you're like, yeah. But it is interesting to hear like people say the same thing, hearing the same thing in Bert Wright, or seeing people post the same lines over and over, and you're like, if I were a propaganda machine, I'd be telling people, just mix it up a bit. Just
right.
Say a different sentence.
I know. It's just like this
is looking a bit copy and paste.
Yeah, exactly. Once you start hearing people like regurgitating the same sentence, it's just like, well, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you're not really thinking critically. You're like,
yeah, you're repeating. Emotional and, yeah. And brain,
you know, you're
and
projecting.
Yeah. It's definitely. And then you're like, because like there's
the same thing with trigger words. If you use like a certain term, it's just like you're part of that team. Yeah. So therefore, like, I can't trust you because you're on a team.
Like,
you're too attached to an idea.
And then people group people too, because like the way I see it is, it's a government and the government have completely fucked over their people because they funded Hamas. They they wanted a kind of divide and conquer or whatever, and then there's all this natural gas, there's a lot of shit going on, but anyway, I just feel like the government has really let down their own people too, and it's a government and you should be able to criticize governments. Mm-hmm. But now it's feeling like it's getting into the space where you can't even criticize a government.
Which government?
Israeli.
Yeah.
I think Netanyahu and Bennett, or what's the guy who runs the IDF who was like too racist to be in the IDF,
right? Well, yeah, from what has been explained to me, it's just like, yeah, Netanyahu would be in jail if it weren't for the extreme right like boosting him, and essentially he's been like co-opted by the extreme right so that he doesn't go to prison over corruption charges.
Oh yeah, no, he's, and I know, so like literally when I saw all those clips about people saying their boyfriend and the like Roman,
the Roman Empire,
oh my god, is passing Israel my Roman Empire? I know way too much. I'm like,
no, I mean, it's good. I just think like over the last couple of years, I really like hit a point of like such mental exhaustion.
Especially like for anybody who feels like a connection to it. Of course, I'm reading a book from a Israeli woman right now, and her father was against the occupation, but her grandfather is one of the people who created Israel. So coming from two completely different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting to like read. Yeah, but it's of course mentally. Mm-hmm. Exhausting, but with saying all that, like, so,
and also I'm going through a breakup, you know. Yeah, so
but like,
people keep telling me to be gentle with myself.
Yeah, be nice to yourself. Yeah, you don't need to binge the news right now. You're fine.
I'm posting hot pictures of myself on the internet so I don't read old text messages. So you know, we're making it work.
No, all I was gonna say with that is that the grouping of people. So like, let's say like if you should be able to complain about a government, but it doesn't mean all the people there or the religion. Same way you can complain about Hamas, but it doesn't mean.
I feel like we're all captive.
Yeah. Yeah, because like with that, with me being from Ireland, people would message me stuff being like, I know you feel this way because, and I'm like, the government doesn't even feel that way. They actually, if you read what they say, they've been very much, it's not, what? Like, you know, your government supports Sharia law, and you're like, What? Hello?
I'm forgetting the name of this author, but honestly, I read this book and it really changed the way how I think. And it's called The Five Levels of Attachment.
Oh, do I have that? No, that's just Attached.
Okay, I also read Attached. Definitely, when I was younger, I was more avoidant. And as I've gotten older, I've been more anxious. But, you know, go leaning towards secure. But anyways, so Five Levels of Attachment is basically like your attachment to ideas. And the analogy that they give in the book is like, let's say you really love soccer. Mm-hmm. So being at a level one of attachment is like you go to the game, you have fun, doesn't matter who wins. Like second level of attachment is kind of like you might have a team, but it like regardless of the outcome, you're going to go, you're going to have fun, great time. Third level of attachment is like you have your team and if they don't win, you will like be upset. Mm-hmm. You know, you might go home, you might like complain to everyone and like it ruins your night. And then like the four, maybe it's four. Anyways, but the next level of attachment is kind of like, okay, you have your team and if they don't win, if you see someone in an opposing jersey, you're going to punch them, you know? So,
I've seen that.
Yeah. Oh my God. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm in this like headspace right now. I don't know like how valid it is. It's just like something I'm experiencing, but it's just kind of like attachment to ideas is like why we have violence.
Yeah, I agree.
And so it's just like if you just kind of like detach and like, I don't know, some people, it's hard to find the line between like detaching and nihilism, where it's just like you don't want to be apathetic. You want to care. But at the same time, it's just kind of like attachment to ideas is like what causes like you to act out towards others.
I agree, because I feel like with being Irish, I think with sometimes the people, it's like their full identity, and then like they're like, no, Irish people can do no bad, we were oppressed, and it's like, what? No, we are all capable of bad and we're all capable of goodness, and if my country does something good, yes, I can be proud, but it shouldn't like be the highlight of my day.
It's very black and white thinking.
Yeah, it's like I know that they're doing, but then if they do something bad and people are like, fuck them, and it's like, okay, well, they're like, you know, maybe they'll be good tomorrow or whatever. It's like, or if someone comes up to me and is like, fuck you, because of Leo Varadkar, I'm like, what? Like, that's our Taoiseach, our prime minister. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I didn't, or fuck you because of Trump. Like, imagine someone and you're like, what? So it's like, and people who support Trump are full Trump heads. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to have, and you also can't critically judge if you're in this, like with the Irish in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was doing, like, they've obviously, I feel bad. Sometimes I feel such a Catholic thing. I feel bad shitting on the Catholic Church. But they did do a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
They did a lot of bad stuff to Irish women. They did a lot of bad stuff. There was like a lot of hiding pedophiles. And that stuff can't be ignored. And it doesn't mean that they haven't done some good stuff, do you know?
I'm sure there's a lot of... Also because of anti-divination laws, they made astrology illegal.
So they made astrology illegal? Well, yeah, okay, they ripped from all pagan stuff.
Well, okay,
and
can
said
I...
it was Christian.
I just learned this last year. And, you know, I do believe in astrology. It is like a science that originally historically was like studied with astronomy, and they were studied together in Egypt, originally from Egypt, and Anthony the Great brought it over from Egypt to the Western world. And because of Catholicism and anti-divination laws, they made astrology illegal. So over in the East, like, they were still studying astrology based on the constellations in the sky, like the degrees of the sky. Whereas like in the West, once people started picking astrology back up, when it was made illegal, it like matched up with the calendar year. So our astrology is in the West is based on the calendar year, not the constellations.
Oh.
So most people, okay, so in the West, like, there's a whole astrology business based on like the idea of suggestion, where it's like Linda Goodman's book Sun Signs, which is like one of the most popular astrology books, all of the sun signs are meant to be read, and you're meant to relate to every single sign. So it doesn't matter what sun sign you read, you're like meant to believe that that's you because it's written that way. So it's like the power of suggestion. So if you guys like want some up-to-date astrology, look up sidereal Chinese.
I mean, sometimes like, you know, the West is always like, fuck everywhere else, we're the best. And then I learn about stuff from other cultures and like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of cool. Yeah, or like the things when you, I was reading the little history of the world and I was like, how did I not know that these things came from like China, or that these things came from the Middle East, or Irish DNA comes from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't.
Moroccan, or, well, I guess that's North African. That's not.
Yeah, I don't know if it, I don't know if it's my DNA.
Yeah.
But the first bodies, the first bodies they found in Ireland, like they're like the oldest bodies.
Okay.
So the first people who came to Ireland, it comes all the way from DNA mixed between Middle East and Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah.
I would have thought, yeah, more North African too.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, I'm sure then there's all these other because Vikings would have raided, and then we've had, yeah, so I'm sure now people's DNA is all, but it's interesting to see where the first people must have came, and it was all forests, because the Brits were in the forests, but they were probably like, it's just mad to think like, that they were like, let's get on this boat, and then they found an island immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's like a hot second away from Europe.
My dad is so full of shit. Growing up, he's just like, Blair, we're Black Irish. Like, we're from the port of Ireland where the Moors emigrated. And I'm like, I don't know. How long ago was that?
Yeah, well, like, they also said that they would, like, obviously there's actual Black people who are Irish in Ireland.
Yeah.
But before there was any Black people who had actually moved to Ireland, they would say, this is like 100 years ago or whatever, they would say like, so my skin is technically sallow, and so like my dad's is sallow, so like you tan well, and they would say that is Black Irish. You must have had, like, by the way, an assault from like the Spanish Armada.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they tan. But I'm like, I don't know, I think it's just like some people tan and some people don't or whatever, but that would have been called a Black Irish, like brown hair. And my dad has brown eyes, so they would have called him like Black Irish growing up.
Yeah, I did Google it once and I'm just like, oh, you mean like Colin Firth?
You mean Farrell?
Or yeah, yeah. Colin Firth.
What I wanted to ask you, so like, and I had said like, we won't talk about your breakup, just because it's like, I do find like, there's so many other things we can talk about that's crack and a bit of distraction. But if you're okay talking about this, you are coming from two religious backgrounds. Was that hard?
Well, are you talking about my boyfriend?
Well, I don't know. He wasn't Jewish, was he?
No, he wasn't. But his last name was Logman. And when and when we first started dating, he's
you also
just like,
look Middle Eastern, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So well, a part of me is just like, I do look at my type a lot of times, and it's just like, I typically usually go for either like Irish looking or like brown, like Middle Eastern looking. So, yeah.
So
it is
Leland
funny, and
Middle
I'm
Eastern.
Just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I guess I'm like just trying to date myself, but. no, but he's like a secular Persian, like his family is not religious.
So that's good then. So it was kind of fine. It was never an issue with his family, because that's something that can be like, even as like a immigrant or whatever, you know, like a lot of American families sometimes are like, well, we want you to marry an American or whatever. Not always. Sometimes they think like, oh, that's like a cute little, but then there's like Leland's family were Protestants. And then they stopped being as religious. But, mm-hmm. like, that could have been an issue, too, that I'm, like a fake Catholic. Because mm-hmm. I'm more, like, identity probably, like, what I feel like a lot of my Jewish friends feel like. They're, like, it's really important that they are Jewish, but they're, like, well, we're not religion. And that's how I feel like, or we're not religious.
I feel that way.
Yeah, and that's how I feel like Irish Catholics in Ireland feel. Because
mm-hmm.
we've, like, fought back against certain things with the Catholic Church. And we've gotten abortion and all of those things. But we'd still call ourselves Catholic. And I remember being on a date and a guy being like, but you're not Catholic if you don't go to Mass. And I was like, no, but it explains who I am. I'm guilty all of the time.
Yeah.
I will still bless myself if I see, but it doesn't mean
I get to wear the necklace.
Yeah,
off.
I literally wear the cross.
It's so cute.
And I'm just like, it's such a part of my identity. Like, I did communion. I did all those things that it's like, I think you can have. I still think you can identify as that. It doesn't mean that you believe in the core, like the core religion of it. I still believe in the values.
I very much feel culturally Jewish.
Culturally, thank you.
Yes.
It took me a long time. And I'm so glad you saved me there. Because the whole time in my head, I was like, what
is
that word?
You're culturally Catholic. You're culturally Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't, you know, I don't really know my dad's side of the family because he was the youngest and is estranged from his entire family. They're all dead now. Like, he's the last. He's 83. Like,
and your dad was the Irish
Catholic one.
Irish Catholic.
But he like doesn't believe. He believes in kind of, he's what is it called, agnostic, like he believes in something.
Yeah, but that's the way I am too. I don't know, I yeah, something maybe, yeah. I don't know.
And my mom's an atheist and she thinks that religion is the root of all evil, but I'm spiritual. I'm like, there's some, you know, I'm like my dad, I'm like, there's something.
Yeah, same. I think too, it's like I always think, oh, religion is the root of all evil in regards to like how people use it. Mm-hmm. But then I see how some people use the religion and it's so beautiful, and I kind of think
it's just a medium.
Yeah, I think too, it's like if they didn't, like, okay, so like let's say, like, obviously what happened to Jewish people in the Holocaust was like so horrific, and they used the fact that they were Jewish, but I think they just would have used, they would have, if they weren't Jewish, they would have been like, well, they're originally, you know, they would have used something else to target mm-hmm. a group of people, depending on where, like with Irish people, it wasn't, we weren't religious when the Brits came, and there was like that famine genocide, but it was because they just wanted the land, and they were like, yeah, we think you're less than,
we'll use any excuse to oppress people.
Exactly. They'll find a reason. So unless we're all just, unless all,
if it's not your religion, it'll be your skin.
Well, yeah, you know, unless all people all over the world, all of a sudden their skin turns blue mm-hmm. and they look exactly the same and they do exactly the same, we all become robots, because it could be that we'd all look the same, but
it's all financial, it's like class.
Yeah, it's all about class, it's all about resources, because that's why the Brits came into Ireland originally, because we'd all that fucking wood for their cork. I don't know how true this is, but it was something to do with,
we
want to
extract your cork.
yeah. And then just as well, it was like, yeah, more land, let's put our landlords in here, and we got these people who work for us. And then the famine meant that they had people to go help them work in the States, help with colonization, pretty much. So mm-hmm. yeah, it was just like, it's just control and minions. And they had like, they'd send people to prison in Australia for stealing like a loaf of bread. Or like,
isn't that really interesting? Like, I do often think about like how Australia and America are like cousins and like the mirror of one another, where it's like we're freedom of religion and they're criminals.
Yeah.
And how they're actually much more militant about laws now, or like they have like one issue with like a, which, like, one person in the 70s got killed by a gun, and then they immediately made a rule that banned all of them, you know? But then they're also like, I don't know, I traveled a lot when I was like 22, 23, and it was just really interesting that people are very like quick to point the finger at America, when it's just like, I mean, obviously it's like accountable for a lot, and it is interesting how it is looked at like one of the last global superpowers. But then also at the same time, it's just like, Australia, you like turn away boats of like immigrants and like reporters are like being trapped offshore for like reporting on like issues of like immigration. So
that is so scary, right? How reporters are like, they really do risk their lives in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember that one in, that just made me think about your one in England who, oh, she wasn't a reporter, sorry, never mind, she worked for intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that there wasn't weapons of mass destruction, and they mm-hmm. were like, but fuck it, we'll go in anyway, and we'll sit. And then she tried to whistleblow, and they mm-hmm. like ruined her life.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that wasn't a reporter, sorry. But yeah, but reporters really risk their lives.
Mad respect, you know, couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me, yeah.
I'll just say some jokes, and if it hurts your feelings, I'll be like, I'm sorry, I take it back.
Yeah, you'll literally be like, it's a joke. Like a toxic man.
Yes.
No, that was
JK.
Great. Where can people follow you?
I'm Your Girl Blair across platforms. You're spelled U-R, girl spelled normal, Blair spelled B-L-A-I-R. And I'm gonna at some point come out with a mythology podcast.
Oh, I love that. Oh my god, stop. I used to have one called Funny Folklore.
Really?
In the pandemic, and I've always thought about bringing it back, because look, I have a book over there about Irish, I have two books about Irish folklore. I am obsessed, but I just don't have the time.
Right, it's a homework podcast.
Oh my god, it is. But if you ever need a guest about Irish mythology, I will come up, because I am
noted.
It has literally been ripped off, which they always quote it in a lot of sci-fi books, but they really love Celtic mythology, and I'd be happy to tell you, we still believe in a lot of stuff, like we won't cut down fairy trees, there's like a motorway that goes around it. So if you ever need any Irish info, or even if you're doing it yourself and you want to borrow the book,
I love that.
Okay, sorry, go back to promoting your mythology. I got too excited.
Oh, no. Then that's it. Follow me and watch Katie's special. So important. Thanks. I'm gonna watch it when I get home.
You done? Just put it on in the back and with mute. Yeah, you guys can do that too. Put it on in the back with mute.
No, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna meal prep. You know, you could. I saw like people on YouTube. They just put it on to like go to sleep at night.
I know people do that with this podcast. Yeah, which I don't mind. I do. I put I pay for the YouTube subscription, which is so much more expensive than any other, and you're not getting. But I listen to ASMR at night.
Me too.
I don't want to by accidentally, subconsciously end up buying a drill because there was an ad halfway through.
So smart. No, I'll send you an ad blocker. You can
Really? Instead of having them, maybe I should. Well, now Leland wants me to put the YouTube up there because he watches YouTube a lot. So I'll probably just keep paying for it.
Okay.
I deleted Peacock, so I'm saving $5 on that anyway.
That's the only thing I pay for anymore because I'm only capable of watching Real Housewives anymore.
Yeah, we have Hulu, which is great. I love Hulu because they always have a quirky movie.
Yeah, they have good movies.
Usually a good series. And then I tried to delete HBO, but then they offered me a $3 6 months. So
that's how I get you.
I'm still got HBO.
You're stuck.
And Leland has Netflix and Amazon Prime.
And that's why you want to be in a relationship. You know, you want to split the assets.
Yeah, I don't know. I love my relationship, but for you, I'm like, I know it's painful right now, but I'm also like, you can have, when it's not painful, you can have some good times.
Yeah. Well, okay. So in this relationship, it was long distance and he was like, he's in his medical residency. So I had to be like the flexible one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also started a different like day job this year that was very time consuming. So that's both like really took away from comedy.
And like, and you're so funny. Well, you can't let things sit. Yeah. I think this is your, yeah.
This is my time to reinvest.
Every time I hear a friend go through a breakup, and I love my relationship. I don't want to like end it, but I'm always like, this is the time for you.
Yeah.
Do it while you can.
I know. I really like, I think over the next year, I'm really going to focus on comedy, like put out an hour or like at least like I want to bring an hour to Fringe. And then, and I'm going to freeze my eggs.
Okay, great. Oh, you go to Ireland and freeze them. While you're in Edinburgh, pop over to Ireland.
Okay.
It's so much cheaper.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh my God. Yeah, my friend did it and because it was like crazy money here. So
yeah, just went. That's to actually such a hot tip.
Yeah, right.
Ladies in their 30s.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.